This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's call upon the intercession of the first martyrs of the Church of Rome. And of course, I believe, I don't know if he's blessed or venerable, Pierre Toussaint. He was born a slave. We'll call upon him. It's the anniversary of his death. And we'll pray for you, for whatever your needs or intentions are. And as we approach, can you believe we're half? Tomorrow's the Feast of the Precious Blood. Today is the last day of the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart. To me, it's amazing where the year's going. We're halfway through the year. You know, you're less than 6 months to Christmas now, not to stress you out or anything, right? But time seems to be flying. It's amazing how fast that went. And, you know, I love a Sacred Heart devotion, and you know my love of Divine Mercy. I love it. You know, I often say, if you spread the message of Divine Mercy, the Lord promised, you know, he would protect you like a tender mother, her infant, right? That special graces would come your way. The hour of your death would be blessed. You would shine with a special brilliance in the next life. These are things the Lord told the Lord to St. Faustina. And I encourage you to tell others about this chaplet. I mean, tell one other person. That's all. That's all. Just tell one other person, hey, why don't you join us today and pray? Maybe tomorrow do that. Maybe later in the week. Maybe do it now. Send out a tweet, a text, an email, whatever you want to do, and say, I know you have a real need. We're going to get together and pray. That's a great, one of my favorite promises of the Divine Mercy devotion. And I have many favorite promises from this devotion. But it's also the same thing that the Lord told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the Sacred Heart devotion. He says, persons who propagate this devotion shall have their names eternally written in my heart. So you see the parallel between these things? If you're a priest and you're listening to me too, I want to talk to you. And I know many priests who listen and pray this prayer with me. Thank you for doing that. The Sacred Heart devotion, the Lord told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that priests, he will give the power to touch the most hardened hearts. That's your ministry. That's your vocation, right? When you love to have that anointing to bring about conversions. The Lord said the same thing in this prayer we're about to pray. When you pray the chaplet, he says, priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if they were a sinner most hardened, if they were to recite the chaplet only once, they would receive the grace of infinite mercy. I mean, I love those devotions. The Lord talked about the Feast of Mercy. In the Sacred Heart devotion, we have something very similar to that. He promised to give peace to families, to console you in your troubles and in your difficulty. That's what he said in the Sacred Heart devotion. The same thing here in the chapel. So spread the message of Divine Mercy. If you are not familiar with the Sacred Heart devotion, look into it. There are many promises our Lord Jesus Christ revealed to St. Margaret Mary. And I see this tremendous link and this. And maybe the Lord came to Faustina years later, you know, because the world failed to respond to this particular devotion. I don't know. I think these are both beautiful devotions. The church is so rich in them, and we're so blessed as Catholics, aren't we? I love it so much. Hey, I was coming out of Mass today, and I got stopped by one of our board members. I'll keep his name anonymous. And he says, Drew, can I ask you for a favor? And I said, sure. So what can I do for you? He says, I need to ask you for a prayer. And as he began to ask me for this request, his throat got tight, his eyes missed it up, and he had real trouble getting this out. And I could tell whatever it was weighed very heavily on his heart. He felt deeply connected to it. And when he was able to do this, he says, you know, I had an easier time this morning saying this, but he has a friend. His name's Phil Warner. And if you're listening, Phil, we're praying for you. Phil never smoked a day in his life. He was just diagnosed with lung cancer, right? This has been this friend of mine's lifelong friend. He says he knew Phil from the third grade. Well, the cancer moved from the lungs. That's so strange. You know, lung cancer people are getting without ever having smoked. It's now moved into the bones and into the lymph nodes. So I promised him, Rob, I'll pray for Phil. And, of course, I want to pray for you as well. I had dinner with some friends last night, and they credit their son's surgery, a very critical brain surgery, resolved due to the Lord and due to the chaplet. And I really credit that too. I just see how good God is. He hears these prayers when they come from the heart and when we trust and when we believe in the promises that he's given. When that happens, miracles happen. So let's pray with that faith and trust right now. Let's trust in all these promises the Lord has given to us through these great saints. Jake is going to be praying with me today. He's also going to be monitoring our Twitter account. So if you want to put your petition up there, it's at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And please follow us there. And, of course, you can email me, and we'll take your calls now. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Sarah. She's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm just calling for prayers for my dad.
I don't know what's going on.
He's been very ill lately and weak, and he was supposed to have heart surgery today, and had a fall early this morning at 3:30, and when we brought him into the hospital in the ER, they said he has a broken pelvis, and he's getting a CAT scan right now, but he's been just so sick lately.
Well, let's pray for him. You know, God's got a plan. He does. He's got a plan for your father. And I want you to be at peace. God loves you so much. He loves your father even more than you do. Okay? And, you know, Proverbs 3 tells us to just trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not to lean on our own understanding. We can look at the medical reports. We can see all these problems that seem to plague your father. But, our Lord can touch your father and change his condition in an instant. So let's just pray. You're with our spiritual family here. We're all one beautiful family. I just love this time so much. And we pray for each other. And Sarah, I know that be a lot of people listening right now are going to be praying for your father. All right? So, Lord, we do trust in you with all of our heart. We won't lean on our own understanding, but we'll trust in the mystery of your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Gloria is up next. She's listening in Glendale, California. Gloria, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Can everyone please pray for my nephew? He was attacked and he had a broken jaw, and we're praying for his quick recovery. Thank you so much.
You got it, Gloria. I'll pray in a special way for him. My son, I shared a story not too long ago, about a year, maybe 2 years now, where he was leaving a friend's house, and he was walking back to his car, and he got jumped by somebody like that, and they cold cocked him and broke his jaw. I remember getting a phone call from the hospital early in the morning, and he was a couple hours away from where my wife and I were. And the first reaction, of course, my wife's all nervous, let's go. Mine was, at this point in time, to put into practice what I often preach, and that is total abandonment to the Lord and to trust. And that's what we did, and a great peace came over me. And we'll pray right now, in particular, for his recovery, okay? That it's speedy and complete. And but I pray for all those in these critical moments, you know, those who've been abused, attacked, beaten up, those who are the victims of accident and tragedy, those who find themselves overwhelmed by anxiety and fear right now. And I give you these souls. I ask for your healing. Above all, I ask for your mercy and your peace. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll go to our Twitter account, too. Jake is praying with us, but he's also monitoring intentions that come in that way. I know sometimes you've got a critical intention, you need it right away, and Jake is there. And Jake, what's happening?
All right. Well, we're praying for a man named James. He was a veteran and unfortunately took his life due to the cancer that he was suffering with. And it's heartbreaking to hear about that. But we pray for James, for his soul, and of course, all of his friends and family that are affected by this as well. Sherry has a lot of people in her life who have been diagnosed with cancer. That includes her nephew, Peter. He has stage 4 cancer. Her father-in-law, Bill, with stage 4 cancer, and also her friends Kathleen and Jerry, who have recently been diagnosed as well. And lastly, we're praying for Anonymous. She's asking prayers for her son's change of heart, that he and his family might come back into the Catholic faith. And he has 2 daughters, aged 13 and 15, who have never been baptized, and she's concerned about that. She'd love for them to come into the faith and to have that openness of heart.
All right, my gosh, that's heavy intentions there in particular. Suicide. I just want to pray for anyone who's lost a child or a loved one from that, and for those who have suicidal ideations right now, that God will hold back their hands. Let's go to our next call. We'll include them in this deck. And Susan is listening in Colorado. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Drew. My intention is for 2 friends of mine. Both of my friends, their spouses have severe dementia. One of my friend, her name is Melba, and her spouse, Jimmy, is in the hospital, and we think he might not make it. And my other friend, Joyce, her spouse's name is Helmer, and Joyce just needs uplifting of God to help care for Helmer.
All right, well, let's pray for those intentions, knowing that this is a prayer, especially for those in trouble, trial, and especially approaching the hour of death. Lord, I give you all the intentions. We just heard voice from Susan, from Jake, and all those united with me now in prayer. I turn to you. I ask your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. I just got word that Donald Rumsfeld has passed away. He's dead. We'll pray for him right now in this hour, and let's pray for all those that God is calling home. We'll pray for mercy on their souls. Our next call comes from Pammy at Addison, in Addison, Illinois. Pammy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. It's a blessing I'm able to do this. My cousin, Shannon, is in now a 10-hour surgery to remove a tumor off of her brain, and they will probably not be able to remove the whole thing so as not to interfere with the cranial nerve. I'm praying to God that maybe they could just get the whole doggone thing.
Yep.
So that's what I'm praying for.
Well, Pammy, you know what? Have faith, have trust, and have confidence. I shared a story last Friday. A friend of mine called me in the midst of a surgery for his son, and it looked as if though they were facing a situation that would not be able to resolve this mass, this cyst that was in their son's brain. We prayed to God. We prayed to Chapa. We're going to do right now for you what I did for him. I know the surgery is underway for this brain tumor. The second we finished the chaplet, his phone rang. The second he thought I was calling him back because he called me for prayer. It was the surgeon from the OR saying, "We can't believe it. It's successful. The surgery was successful." They were able to cauterize and deal with whatever they had to do. So let's pray. Look, with God, all things are possible. He's given us a great gift of medicine. Let's ask him to be the hands of the surgeon. Let's also ask for his divine touch. And Lord, I pray for those with inoperable tumors, with cancer, with head trauma, with issues, Lord, that seem impossible from a human standpoint. But I know greater is he who is in you, right? That means God. And when God is with us, who can be against us? Right? He's greater than any problem we have. So, Lord, we trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Let's go to beautiful Austin, Texas. Robert is praying with us there. Hi, Robert. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I want to pray for you and the family of the Relevance Radio, all the family. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
I have a 80-year-old sister that lost her husband 7 years ago, and she's hurting real bad with her bones. I talked to her 2 days ago, and I told her to start listening to this because 3 weeks ago I was having back problems, and I started reading, hearing your Reverend Divine Mercy every day at work.
Great.
And I asked Jesus to help me. And matter of fact, every time I sit down, when I got up, it hurt. It pain went away. Okay,
wow.
Now I want to pray for all the old people, the sick. They're having the same sickness as my sister. And I want to pray for the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and everybody hurting from that pandemic. And people that don't get to call, I just like me, pray, have confidence, the faith. It helped me. I'm telling you, it helped me.
I love it.
I couldn't get up and start walking. My back hurt so much.
God bless you.
Thank you, Drew.
Robert, God bless you. Thank you so much for your prayers for me and for my colleagues here and all at Relevant Radio. And I want to pray for your sister. And if she's just beginning to listen to the show, I mean, you've seen the fruit of this prayer. We want to pray for the pain in her back and her legs. I want to pray for Kay, who has sciatic, anyone who has herniated discs, back pain, chronic pain, nerve pain. And I just lift up these souls to you right now. And tell your sister this. I hope she's listening, because I think of Diary Entry 294, where the Lord told St. Faustina, he says, encourage souls with whom you come in contact to trust in my infinite mercy. He said, oh, wow, I love those souls. I love souls who have complete confidence in me, he told Faustina. I'll do everything for them. I will do everything for them. Look, those are the words of Jesus Christ, who is truth, right? Truth incarnate. I believe those totally. Encourage souls with whom you come in contact with to trust in my infinite mercy. I love these souls who have confidence in me, and I will do everything for them. Let's pray now for confidence. Let's pray for our weak faith. Let's put our complete and total trust in the mercy of God. And let's give him our heart with all the intentions we carry, our financial problems, our health problems, our relationship problems, those emotional and psychological problems, all those concerns that we have. And let's trust. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Charbel Maloof,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
All of you martyrs,
pray for us.
Pray for us. All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
My administration has taken decisive action and historic action to protect religious liberty.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was former President Trump. He understood the importance of religious freedom, not only in your community, but really for the entire world. A great champion of life as well. You know, and I don't know if this is on your radar. It should be. You know, I don't know if you're concerned about religious freedom in our own country. I have said this, and I tend to believe it. You know, we saw the bad fruit of Roe v. Wade. You know, we've seen that now since 73 and how that has unfolded and reincarnated in different ways. And there's been new challenges. And then when marriage got redefined in the country, I said, you know, there's going to be bad fruit from that as well. And you're going to see polyamory, polygamy, but you're also going to see religious persecution. And I still been sounding this alarm. I really do believe here we need to be vigilant. We take for granted our freedoms in this country. There are a lot of people around the world who do not enjoy what we as Americans have. We live in a great, great nation. We really do. And we have such incredible freedoms and such incredible liberties. And we need to protect them and we need to cherish them. All right. We really do. You know, today, of course, is the memorials. You might have just heard Father Kubicki talking about the first martyrs of the church in Rome. And these are people who suffered martyrdom under a horrific emperor. I mean, Nero, right? This took place around 64 AD, and it was just 30 years after the Lord's death and resurrection, right? And of course, there had to be some persecution already in Jerusalem, because you read about that in the Acts of the Apostles, with Stephen being stoned, and of course James was beheaded, and we know what happened, you know, to others as well. But this was the first persecution, you know, outside of the Holy Land, and it started as a result of the fires that laid waste to Rome that year. Some people were blaming Nero for starting them to divert attention to himself. He blamed the Christians and had a number of them arrested. But what happened to them, it was truly heinous, horrible. I mean, Some of them were tied, as you heard Father Kabig talk about. They were made to wear the skins of wild animals, and dogs were released on them to tear them to pieces. Others were covered with wax or other flammable material. They were impaled, stuck on spikes, and lit on fire. They act as human torches to light the Roman sky. And this happened as public entertainment while Nero and his guests in his gardens all feasted. And I seriously doubt any of us will ever have to suffer like that. I pray to God we'll never see those type of horrors. And I pray to God that that'll never, ever happen again. But there is still persecution going on throughout the world. And as I said, we live in a country, sometimes we only get one source of news. We're not really plugged into what happens globally, but persecution has been something that's been part of the church since its beginning. The Lord told us that we should expect it to happen, right? It happened to him. He says it's going to happen to us. It has happened throughout church history, but not in all places, you know, but it has been constant. Today, persecution of Christians is probably the worst I think it has ever been. I know you might think, well, how can you say that? Not necessarily here in the U.S., but in so many other countries around the world. According to Aid to the Church in Need, and here's a stat that should open your eyes, right? 340 million Christians around the world. 340 million. That's more than the population of the United States of America. Those 340 million Christians, they're persecuted and they are harassed because they are followers of Jesus Christ. The number of countries where Christians are being persecuted, it's gone up. It used to be back in 2014, about 108, right? That was the latest number. Latest data stat I saw, 145 in 2018. That means between 2016 and 2018, grave persecution took place in 38 countries, and 17 of those countries had severe discrimination against Christians. Right? We're talking about places like Nigeria. We've spoken about that with you in the past, where martyrdoms are happening. And this is happening, by the way, just to give you a sense of it, almost on a daily basis. North Korea, right? We think about the dictator there. North Korea is one of the worst oppressors of just basic human rights in the world. Christians suffer even more than regular North Koreans. And believe me, it's a country you would not want to live in. Under Kim Jong-un's horrible. Pakistan, they had their blasphemy laws. We've talked about Aja Bibi and so many others who were incarcerated for so-called blaspheming, you know, Allah. And those laws are so easily abused. They're used regularly just to target Christians. How would you like that, right? Might not even be true. But somebody doesn't like your faith, next thing you know, you're in jail, away from your spouse, your kids, whatever it might be, losing your business. And, of course, I've been really trying to be a very vocal, clarion voice on what's happening with a group of minorities called the Uyghurs in China. They're slave labor camps set up. There's literally concentration camps in China. And you see Nike and Disney and you see all these other people kowtowing to China. It bothers me. But it's not just the Uyghurs. You know, there are Christians who are suffering in China as well. And then there is the Middle East, where Christians continually face discrimination and harassment and the death for their faith. And I'm joined today by somebody who's made this their mission. He's Executive Vice President of Religious Freedom Institute at Georgetown University. And Eric Patterson is well aware, intimately, far greater than I am, with what is happening globally. And he's here to tell us what we can do. Good to have you with me today, Eric. Thank you for your efforts and for your organization.
Drew, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
It's pretty, here's the thing. As Americans, and I say this a lot, I'm a consumer of all venues of media, all lanes, right? From print, internet, broadcast, et cetera. But here in the U.S., you get certain news, right? You travel to Europe or you travel to other parts of the world, and you tend to get more international news, and you get some other coverage. There's very little reporting in the country about the oppression that those who are followers of Christ or in terms of religious freedom are getting. Why is that? And I feel bad because I don't think a lot of Americans are aware of the gravity of what's unfolding around us.
Yeah, let me, if you don't mind, say something about your comments about the Roman martyrs, because sure. This is an important day on the church calendar, and then get to this. When we look at that period, the first three centuries of the church, with the persecution first in Jerusalem, but then official persecution by various Roman emperors, yep. We have to realize that there's at least two reasons for it. The first one is spiritual warfare.
Yep.
The enemy did not want to see the church grow. The Bible tells us the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his intent. Mm-hmm. And so the spiritual element is there of destruction. By the way, that's not just for Christians, because the enemy wants to see all of humanity destroyed, right? And so when the Uyghurs, not because they're Christians, not because they're the church, but because they're humans, Muslim humans who are a minority, when they're being oppressed, that's offensive to our God who loves everybody
right.
as well. And second, it's scapegoating. You know, Nero and in later administrations, when things weren't going well, at home, they would say, well, let's put the blame. Let's not be responsible leaders. Let's put the blame on some minority group. And they chose Christians. And in other times in history, it's been anti-Semitism or things. But today, around the world, in so many places, that group that is scapegoated is Christians. That's true in parts of China. It's true in Nigeria. It's true in Pakistan. It's true across the Middle East, that they're targeted as outsiders, as some sort of disease to the body politic, and it's a problem.
Yeah, it's really, really well said, and I could not agree with you more. Is that what we're seeing today? I mean, what happened in the time of Nero, it was scapegoating. The Uyghurs, as you pointed out, I mean, that's a Muslim population, but my heart goes out to them. I champion their abuse and persecution every day, trying to call those who are accountable to maybe do something along with it. In Nigeria, there's other places. I mean, we take for granted, I think, our freedoms in this country. We don't know how good we have it. There's a lot of nations you don't have this freedom. So how rampant is that persecution, and how blind are Americans? I'm not here to throw stones at this country. I just, you know, I want people to be aware of the gravity of what's unfolding here and to be vigilant, because I have concerns that, you know, if we're not careful, we'll see the slow erosion of our own religious liberties in this country.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's lots of news sources that talk about some of these things. I'll just tick them off. Open Doors International, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, the one you mentioned earlier, Aid to the Church in Need, our resources at the Religious Freedom Institute in Washington, two U.S. government agencies, U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, U.S. State Department's International Religious Freedom Office. The Brits have an all-parliamentary group on religious freedom. It's called the APPG. And all of those that I just mentioned, the listener could Google, and they could get daily or weekly alerts on the persecution of Christians in specific and wider religious freedom trends around the world. But you're right. It doesn't tend to show up in our news. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is kind of a comfortable navel gazing that we as Americans do about our own domestic politics. But the second is that many media elites don't see religion as all that important, and therefore religious freedom, they do not see that as very important. I'll give you one example. The current U.S. ambassador in Nigeria has consistently said that the conflict on the ground is a resource issue. It is not religious. And so that mindset, this materialistic mindset that says, well, we don't dare talk about religion. It violates the establishment clause. We don't want to offend one group or the other. So we're just going to always say that any problem can be negotiated away if we just divvy up the resources. That mindset entirely blocks out understanding the terrible plight of Christians in places like Nigeria.
Yeah. My guest today, Eric Patterson, if you want to join us, it's toll-free for you. It's 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the current state of persecution against Christians globally. Of course, today we remember in a special way the first martyrs of Rome. And, you know, Pakistan, I was thinking about Asia Bibi and that whole story. Here's this woman who was incarcerated. I mean, even people are being flogged. People are being put to death for these crimes. In Pakistan, I mean, how many Christians are in jail right now because of these anti-blasphemy laws, because they can be so easily, you know, alleged, and I don't know how you prove them one way or the other.
Yeah, Pakistan has two laws that are, or sets of laws that are problematic. One is blasphemy and one is apostasy. So the blasphemy laws are directed at people who are alleged to have said something negative about the Prophet Muhammad, something negative about the Quran, used the name of Allah in an epithet or something of that nature. And so often, like Aja Bibi, it's some sort of local neighborhood strife. And then people say, they trumpet, oh, she blasphemed. And then straight to jail, maybe torture, and possibly the death penalty. The second type are apostasy laws. And that is the argument that someone left the Muslim faith and went and became a Christian or something else. And here's the insidious way they're used. Often, it's well documented, very often, a young woman, a teenager, will be raped and then put into a forced Muslim marriage. And then if she can get away, if she can escape and go back to her family, that's considered reconverting to Christianity.
Wow.
And she has broken the law with the possibility of all the way to a death sentence. So both the blasphemy and the apostasy laws are problems in Pakistan.
Wow. You're sexually abused, forced into a marriage, leading ultimately to even greater abuse, possibly death. Boy, I tell you, God bless America. That's what I say. You're working, one of my producers was telling me this morning, you're working with a conservative Muslim, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a Muslim scholar on writing something about this. What are you working on?
Thanks for asking about that. We have actually a number of resources on our website about how to take practical steps in the real world to try to blunt the edges of these laws. One of them is that our scholar, Ismail Royer, has published a 30-page pamphlet from the Quran and from Muslim teaching on why it's illegitimate to apply these laws to people who aren't Muslims. The Quran said that you do this to Muslims, not to outsiders. And so it's outside of Islamic jurisprudence to throw a Christian in jail for blasphemy because they're not a Muslim. And so we've published that both in English and in Urdu. We just published last week another report on ways to take steps to blunt the effects of the blasphemy laws. For instance, Aja Bibi was thrown in her local jail, beaten there, mistreated there. If a blasphemy law case happens, move the person to the national capital to a federal prison. That will protect them from lynching and things. We're calling on countries who have blasphemy laws to repeal them, as a number of countries, mainly outside of the Middle East, have done over the past 20 years. We're calling on countries to not enforce, if they can't repeal a law, don't enforce it. They know it's not good for their citizens. Yep. They know it radicalizes people. Don't enforce it until the day comes when they can repeal that law. So there's practical things that governments can do when they realize these laws are not in their own interests.
Yeah, my guest today, Eric Patterson. If you want to join us, I'll grab your calls when I come back. I think sure Paul's taking a look at the current state of persecution against Christians globally and really warning America, we need to be vigilant also about the religious liberties and the freedoms that we have. Stay with me. Our conversation will continue right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and at relevantradio.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Prayer on demand. Listen back to The Chaplet with Drew Mariani anytime and pray as you go. Grab the Relevant Radio app for your smartphone.
Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who don't enjoy the same freedoms that you and I do. I mean, I am proud to be an American. I am proud to be Catholic. I love my faith. And I'm proud to be able to have a microphone here in which you and I can talk every day and I can bring to you a perspective and an account of what's happening globally that you may not get anywhere else. And if you enjoy the show, please tell others about it. If you want to share the conversation, you can always go to relevantradio.com and hit any of my podcasts, re-listen or share with someone else. I'm joined today by Eric Patterson. He's the Executive Vice President of the Religious Freedom Institute. You can check them out at that website. I think it's Religious Freedom Institute. I want to say it's .org. or go to rfi.org. And let me ask you, Eric, is it religiousfreedominstitute.org as well?
That's great, yes. Okay.
So people can check you out there. What we're looking at today, on the Feast of the Martyrs of Rome, we're taking a look globally at persecution, what's happening around the world. And I'm going to take a few of your calls, and we've got a lot still to talk about. But if you want to get in, I only have my guest for a few moments. The number here is 888-914-9149. We'll start in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Pete has been waiting to get in. Pete, hi. You're on the air with Eric Patterson.
It's quite a coincidence. I just the other day I watched the Army McCarthy hearings on PBS, and it got to me to wondering, what's the state of communism worldwide nowadays? Right. Is Russia still communist or semi-communist? Is China the big dog in the communist world nowadays? And what about Cuba? What about the American Communist Party? We don't hear much about that anymore.
It's a great question, Pete. We'll talk about it right now, and I'll follow up on that, Eric, with you too. I mean, since we're talking about persecution, you know, what's the faith like in Russia? We've talked a little bit about Russia, China. We can get back to that, and also Cuba. So I'll let you respond to Pete and maybe broaden that with what's happening in those nations, those communist nations.
Yeah. So, Pete, thanks for this question. And first, something about communist countries, and then second, something about the state of religious freedom in Russia. Very briefly, you do have these radical leftist politicians. They're populists they're informed by a communist ideology in Nicaragua, in Venezuela, formerly in Bolivia with Evo Morales, but also his successors. It's been back and forth in Ecuador and, of course, Cuba. So there has been this movement in Latin America, and it sees the church as a threat, and thinly repressed the rights of religious actors kind of throughout the region. And whether it's there or especially China, the reason that communist groups, although these countries aren't in some sort of alliance like the old Warsaw Pact, the reason that communist governments or socialist governments of this type don't like Christianity is because it is an allegiance, it's a faith above the state, and it calls into question the so-called scientific materialism, the anti-God, the atheism of the communist ideology and the ruling party. That's why Christians are a threat in China, because they undermine the party as God. Now, in Russia, different thing. Where we are today is a aggressive Russian nationalism that will often use its counterterrorism laws to beat up on religious minorities. And the most egregious example is Jehovah's Witnesses, who they're just a tiny group, but the Russian government keeps throwing Jehovah's Witnesses into jail as under terrorism laws. Now, why do they do that? Is it because Jehovah's Witnesses are a threat? No, it's sending a message. They're bullying the tiny group to send a message to Catholics and to evangelicals, into groups that actually have stronger alliances outside of the country. Don't come here. Don't evangelize. Don't spread your faith. You can't buy property, etc. And it's that draconian approach that's really designed. You know, it's just like the bully on the playground. He bullies the weak kid to scare everybody else.
All right. Hey, Pete, thanks for the call. Eric, very well said. We only have a few minutes. I do want to get back to China. And, you know, it's not just followers of Christ. And the Uyghurs, as you point out, are a Muslim population as well. I know the BBC's been on the ground there. I've been reporting on this with the prime minister's been on my program several times. And the horrors of what's happening with these concentration camps, this forced labor. It's pretty telling. Let me share just a quick piece of audio for those who may not be familiar with what's happening in China with the Uyghurs. It's, I think, a combination of both the BBC and NBC.
U.S. officials have blasted the camps as a Chinese attempt to erase its own citizens, religion and culture.
The Chinese describe them as education and vocation centers. How would you describe them?
They are most certainly detention camps in which people are being held unwillingly, where they're stripping them of their identity.
We're shown a kindergarten where Uyghur children sing, "I love you, my motherland." Here, every generation must learn China's language, laws, and obey Beijing, or face the consequences. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Xinjiang, China.
Wow, and this is the factory here. It's extraordinary.
Isn't it? From the ground, it's clear the factory and accommodation blocks are all now one single site, plastered with Communist Party slogans. But when we get out to film,
we are entitled to film in public anywhere in China.
China says these places are simply about creating jobs, but everywhere we go, there's this extraordinary effort to stop us documenting any of it.
Yeah, and some of the horrors that you didn't even hear there, I heard one woman who was able to get out of the country who had talked about, you know, forced rapes. Guys would go in there at night and choose women and sexually abuse them, wives, daughters, sisters. I mean, it's horrible what's happening there. I'm joined by Eric Patterson today, and if you want to join us, feel free to dial in. He's the Executive Vice President of the Religious Freedom Institute, and I do want to talk about China a little bit. There's been a lot of focus on the Chinese persecution of the Uyghurs. We know what's happening there, and I'd love your take. And I'd also like to expand the focus just a little bit, because outside of the Uyghurs, I understand that Christianity is also being persecuted. So give us a picture of what's happening in communist China.
In the early to mid-2000s, many of us looked at China and thought that some of the political liberalization that was following economic liberalization or economic opening was creating greater opportunity. You may recall, I mean, not just state-sponsored churches, but other churches were somewhat meeting in the open. Well, the last 10 years has seen a dramatic reversal, a dramatic pushback against Christians really of all stripes in China. And whether it's Christians going to jail, Christians losing their jobs, the shutdown of Christian websites or media, whether it's the ongoing attacks against Falun Gong, whether it's the attempt to erase parts of Tibetan culture and religion, you know, the Dalai Lama and whatnot, or the Uyghurs, the Muslim Uyghurs in the West. There, it's a concerted effort by China to create harmony, they would call it, by eradicating difference and by eradicating any religion or faith perspective that creates an allegiance to something other than the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, a lot of prayer needed for sure. I only have a minute or two left. You've got a religious freedom summit coming up, and I just want to give you the final moments to let Americans and those who are listening really around the world, because we have people in South Africa and over in Asia and in Europe tuned in as well. I mean, what can we do? What can be done? And tell me a little bit about this summit.
Yeah, former U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, a faithful Catholic, is co-leading a summit here in Washington, D.C. You can check it out at earthsummit.com, July 14th to 16th. Speakers coming from around the world, and the purpose is to bring pressure to bear in Washington. These matters, these issues really matter. It's also to establish and to share best practices. What are the things that work around the world to push back on persecution, to push back on violations of religious freedom? Our organization is holding a side event on Pakistan's blasphemy laws with a couple of our senior fellows, one who's a former Pakistani member of parliament, one who's a currently sitting British member of parliament. And a lot of what's going to happen at the summit is rolling up our sleeves to say, what works? Where does it work? How do we work together? How do we engage governments to stop these crises? And our president, Tom Farr, was directly responsible for helping draft the charter for the summit, which is available online and at our website. It'll be an encouragement. It'll also be a great challenging event for people of faith.
Well, hey, thanks, Eric. Thanks for being here. Keep up your good work. And the best way to connect, I'm assuming, is just religiousfreedominstitute.org, right? Best way to follow
everything
you're doing. Hey, I look forward to our next exchange. I really appreciate what you do, and I'm grateful for your time.
Drew, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Eric Patterson, Executive Vice President of the Religious Freedom Institute. Look, I'm just trying to put this on your radar, make you aware of what's happening, not just here in the country, but, of course, around the world. And if you can, check out the summit, check out that website. And stay with me, because I'll tell you what. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by an astronaut. You know I'm a geek, right? You know I love space, and I love all this type of stuff. Last time I had astronaut Dr. Tom Jones on the program with me, he shared with me a mission that he's on. It is a mission to protect the planet from near-Earth objects, NEOs, right? And right now, scientists have been using these supercomputers, and they discovered 11 dangerous asteroids that could potentially impact the Earth. And if you remember your history, right, if you go back 66 million years ago, our planet experienced a catastrophic asteroid strike that caused a mass extinction in the death of dinosaurs. You think, oh, well, how likely is that to happen? Well, maybe never in our lifetime. Maybe tomorrow. I mean, we really don't know. Could we stop something like this from happening? There was a blast that went off in 1908 in a place called Tunguska in Siberia. It's an amazing story. If I have time, I want to share that with you, because it really will put it in perspective how vulnerable we really are. Stay with me. I'll be back with that and more.